Praise God. Amen. Awesome presence of God. You know, we are used to all the formal introductions before the sermon and all that. Sometimes, you know, God's presence envelops us, you know, in a way that we don't want to hear an extra word. You don't want to hear an extra breath. You don't want to hear anything that would hinder that presence of God. And tonight is a night I strongly felt in my spirit that, you know, it was such a moment that I don't want to miss. Even now I feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit of God in this place, that He's doing a deep work within us. And God is doing amazing things. Believe it or not, God is doing it. This evening I would like to just talk to you about again another wonderful man used by God in the New Testament. A man who was zealous, a man who was all out for Jehovah. We all know that his name was Paul. You know, before he became Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Please turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22. You know, it gives a narrative of how, you know, Paul was before the council. Let me read a few scriptures here. And, brethren, fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. So Paul was giving a little introduction about himself, who, you know, his background is like. If you talk to the old timers, you know, people, you know, who are close to 70 years of age in this country, they would say, you know, our ancestors came from Italy, our ancestors came from, you know, different countries, you know, Africa and, you know, wherever. You know, it is such a beautiful thing to see, you know, God bringing people from different parts of the world in building this nation as a one nation. You know, tomorrow, July 4th, is such an important historic day in the history of this country, United States of America. But in spite of all the preparation for the celebration and all the pomp and, you know, people always want to whoop it up, you know, when, you know, on July 4th, and not knowing the real purpose of that day, historically, if God, you know, established this country, people all the way from England, you know, came in, and people, you know, from different parts of the world are brought together for the purpose of God to be fulfilled in this country and eventually would spread throughout the world. You know, that is the sense of that day. Before I go any further into the passage that I just read to you, I'm led by the Holy Spirit of God, you know, to speak these words. I don't know, maybe, you know, whatever is recorded today may speak to the coming generations. It's important that we celebrate this great day. But it is all the more important to know the significance of our celebration. It is all the more important that we hear the cry of God. On this day, how many years have passed since this country has been established and rooted so very strongly, so to speak, it is called the superpower of this century. And there is so much wealth, not just in terms of finances, not just in terms of resources. In every way, God has blessed this nation. And this nation proudly boasts that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, these words were not just said, you know, by people who did not have any convictions. The people who spoke those words, who penned those words, you know, had a true conviction of why they were established in this country. It is a question that you and I need to ask. What have we passed on to this generation? To make it even more clearer, what have we failed to pass on to this generation? We have passed on all the head knowledge. We have passed on technology. We have passed on scientific advancement. We have passed on fashion. We have passed on all the other things. But the only important thing, that is the fear of God. And God is grieved more than He's happy today for this country, United States of America. Because every time a nation forgets God, God's heart is grieved. There is so much of similarity between the nation of Israel and this nation of United States of America. And the same way God felt for the nation of Israel that we read in the Bible is the same way how God feels for this nation, for this generation, for us people who live right now, this point in time. Dear child of God, this is a very, very urgent message that God wants to tell His people. And God expected His people to speak out. God expected, you know, His children to act out and live it out. But we have so many excuses for not having done what God expected of you and of me. We are only interested in laying our hands on the land that could offer to us, the blessings that we could receive from out of this country. But God says, it's time, it's time, it's time. It's time. Apostle Paul, he was saying this. You know, he's giving a briefing. You know, I'm indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia. All the strictness of the forefathers' law, he was so zealous. And he was saying that he even persecuted the Christians and delivered them into prisons, both men and women. And that was his background. But, you know, he also gives his testimony how he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. The interesting thing about, you know, Saul's, transformation and conversion is this. You know, if you read, verse number 10, from verse number 7, you know, Paul says, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Was Jesus against Saul being zealous for Jehovah? No, because God the Father and God the Son are one. Jesus came into this world as a Messiah, the Savior of the world. He was not against that, but Jesus was asking, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting me? In Paul's in his time, you know, he was actually literally persecuting the Christians. But us Christians, we are still persecuting the Lord by not fulfilling what God is expecting you and me to do. Many times, you know, we have a wrong understanding of that. What you and I fail to do hurts the heart of God. The times that you and I need to speak up and we just hush it up, we are hurting God. And, you know, Saul was having a conversation with Jesus Christ, but he didn't, you know, literally see, in the sense that because he was blinded by that glory. But it was Jesus. Because Paul asked, "Who is this talking to me?" Then the voice said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." To cut the long story short, you know, Saul became blind, and he was given instruction to go to Damascus. And he said, "When you go there, everything will be told to you, what you need to do." And there was a certain man called Ananias. The Bible calls him a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. And he came to Saul, and he stood and said to him, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that time, same hour, I looked up at him. Paul writes, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth." I don't know what the other translations say. A man who truly has an encounter with Jesus should have the revelation of the will of God. The revelation of the will of God. Many times we talk about willpower. You know, we talk about the power of choice. You know, we live in this free country of United States of America. We say that, you know, I have, you know, every right to make my own choice. But not all choices that you and I make with our human intellect and our human experiences eventually would fail. That is why God says, "Seek my will. Seek my heart. Hear from me." Knowing the will of God is a very important thing in a believer's life. Dear friends, do you have that assurance today that you are doing the will of God, that the will of the Lord has been revealed to you? And see the Messiah, meaning that experience Christ in a personal way. We know that, you know, we all are saved, we all are, you know, baptized, we all claim to be filled in the Holy Spirit. And most of us have the privilege and the gift of speaking in tongues. And many others have even the other, you know, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. It's all good. But, you know, experiencing Christ is not just a one-time thing. True, you're justified like that. But the thing is that for you and I to be sanctified day after day, moment after moment, we need to have a communion and fellowship with Christ without interruption. Jesus said, "You are the light of this world." In those times, they did not have electricity, right? And they were using lamps and they were using oil. And there is a wick that's dipped into the oil. You know, but, you know, the thing is that there has to be oil. The thing is that the wick has to be in the oil. It has to touch. That means there has to be a connection for the light to shine, for the flame to keep burning. Our fellowship with Christ should be so very strong that not a moment would pass without feeling His presence, knowing that He is with us, around us, speaking to us. I'm not talking about some, you know, conscious presence that you could feel goosebumps. There are times you feel that, I feel that. But even otherwise, you know, your spiritual man should have get into the habit of communing with God. And you may be wondering, is that possible? Yes, it is possible. That is the only way we can live that scripture that says pray at all times. Your inner man can pray to God. That is the beauty of having the Holy Spirit of God in us. Because the Holy Spirit of God prays through you with sighs and groanings that cannot be numbered. You know, I have experienced in my own life when words fail me, when words don't come out freely to pray. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, I know that it bypasses every human limitations and it reaches the throne room of God. Praise God for that. Knowing the will of God, experiencing Christ, the Messiah, and hearing the voice from out of His mouth. The voice of God thunders. When God speaks, the mountains melt. When God speaks, things come into existence. When God speaks a word, it brings healing. Hallelujah. What doctors cannot do, what medicines cannot do, one word from the mouth of God can do. What is impossible? And Jesus is alive today. He is still in the business of restoring lives, saving lives, healing lives. And you and I are called to take that message, that power in our lives. And Paul was such a man who was chosen to go through afflictions. Many times we wonder, you know, why do we suffer? Why do we have to go through hardships, sicknesses, ridicule, loneliness, people not being able to understand what you do, frustrations? Did Paul go through all that? The Bible has enough accounts. But the secret to his success of his faithful ministry unto the Lord was that, you know, Christ was all. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You see the point here? Christ is all. Christ is all. This nation needs Jesus. This country needs Jesus. This generation of kids, they need to hear the name of Jesus Christ. How would they hear unless nobody speaks that name? The devil is all out in everywhere in the system to hush that name being spoken. Will that change anything? Will that in any way belittle that name, Jesus? No. The Bible says the name of Jesus Christ is greater and higher than any other name. Hallelujah. I don't know what your plans are for tomorrow. I don't know what you have planned with your family to celebrate the 4th of July. But I want to send you with this burden. I really want to send, you know, you with this burden in your heart for God. That you know, this generation is going to almost in the path of destruction. The perishing generation God wants to save, and God wants to use people like you and me. He's not looking at your qualification. He's not looking at how well you can speak. He's not looking at what you can do the best. But God is asking you today, are you available? Are you willing? Do you cry for this nation? I'm talking about your grandchildren and their children to come. Do you have a sense of responsibility for them? God sees them. You cannot leave a legacy unless you pass on. What are you going to pass on when you leave this earth? When you and I die, what are we going to leave with our children? It's not about a good retirement plan. It's not about leaving in a couple of houses, one for your daughter, one for your son. It's not a big bank balance. It's not about anything else. But if you leave the legacy of knowing Christ and Him crucified and resurrected, I tell you, that is the greatest legacy you can leave behind. Because the days are going to be even more wicked, even more evil. Everything that is planned behind the scenes is getting ready for the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is going to be a contest just like the contest that happened when Prophet Elijah was there. Two sides, two teams. And God is a winner. Christ is the winner always. And it's time that we prepare this nation, this generation, to know Jesus Christ. Know Him. Would you be willing to speak of the freedom that Christ offers tomorrow? Or will you be shy to just slip to the sidelines and say, okay, everyone's having a good time, you know, good food and fireworks and, you know, the beach and ice cream. It'll end. It'll be over by tomorrow. And the 5th of July, nobody's going to bother. But are you willing to speak of the freedom that Christ offers? It's time that we do it. It's time that we do it. That is my passion. I come from another land. I come from another country. You know, probably, you know, but the thing is that God is using me as a mouthpiece. Do you understand? It's so very ridiculous, you know, in worldly terms. You know, a guy's coming all the way from far away and talking about this country, the land of the free, the home of the brave. That means God has a very, very important message in the final hours of the day. If my people would listen to my voice, I would heal them of their backsliding, says the Lord of hosts. If my children who are called by my name would hear my voice, I will heal them of their backsliding. You can put an end to it, my dear friend. Right at this place, make a decision, say, my life is gonna spell out the power of Christ. My words, my actions, my body language, my attitude in every place, in every instance, is going to spell out the power of Christ, the love of Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? And it is my desire that we should pray for this nation. Even a few of us are going to just join together and truly cry out for this land and say, God, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on this land. We have sinned. We confess our sins to you. We have wronged you in every possible way. And we have gone astray for too very long. And please bring us back. Bring this nation back into your fold. And when we cry with a heart for this nation, God will heal this land of its backsliding state. Can I ask Pastor Randy to come forward, please? And please, sister, could you please walk up front? And we'll just cry out to God. You know, this country, the politicians are planning so many things for the 4th of July. But let us cry. You know, God is going to look at your heart and my heart as we are going to pray. Pastor Randy, we pray for this nation tomorrow.
Father, we just glorify your name. We thank you, God, for the great light of the gospel that you have given this nation. This nation was born by your Spirit, and there's no doubt of that. And God, we know, Lord, that you established this country so that people could come here and worship you freely, and that this gospel might be spread throughout the entire earth. But God, our country, Lord, is not serving you and not honoring you the way it once has. God, we have backslidden. We have become like Sodom and we have become like Gomorrah. God, even worse, God, because we have had a greater revelation of who you are. Father, as the words were shared tonight, we think of the scripture how Jesus said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than this generation. Because, God, we have received a greater revelation of who you are and have seen your might and glory as no other nation has. But God, despite our backslidden state, we know that we are not too far away from you, Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that your arm is not too short to save, God. And that, God, you still strive to know us, God. And that the power, the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same today as it was when this country was first established. God, we read in the history of this nation, Lord, of the Great Awakening and even the Second Great Awakening, how many souls came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God, before the great and terrible day of your return, we desperately pray for a third Great Awakening. We pray for because we desperately need for you to pour out your Spirit upon this land before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible gives us a promise, and so God, we come to you, Lord Jesus, in hopes of this promise, that in the last days you will pour out your Spirit on all flesh, that our sons and our daughters will prophesy, our young men shall see visions, our old men shall dream dreams, and upon, Lord, our servants and handmaidens, you shall pour out your Spirit. And the last part of that prophecy, which yet has to be fulfilled in its fullness, since on the day of Pentecost it was not the last days, is that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we are sensing, Lord, the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sensing that we are approaching the last days that your holy word speaks about. And so we earnestly pray that you would pour out your spirit one more time in a mighty, powerful way upon this land. God, that you would pour your rivers of blessing. Lord, your springs of living water, Lord, upon this dry and thirsty land. That we might drink and that we might be revived and refreshed. And so God, as we have been stirred by the words that have been shared tonight, may we live in the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And may we, as your people, call upon your name as never before for your Holy Spirit to move. May we be like Jesus who said, my meat is to do the will of him who has sent me. May our meat not be the food on our table or the drink in our refrigerator or the activities that we consume our lives with each and every day. But may our meat be, God, you and your will and your plan and your purpose to declare your glory. And, oh God, as we, your church, are faithful, we pray, Lord, that those of us who are here, that we would not only be stirred, but the seeds of stirring would be sown throughout this congregation and the body of Christ. That, Lord, we would truly see a magnificent move of the Holy Spirit upon our land once again. But, oh God, make us desperate for it. More than anything, more than meat, more than drink, may we be desperate for you and for your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray that the message of my brother and the burden upon his heart, Lord, would just continue to multiply and grow and speak to many people. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
If you don't mind. And you've sang.